This morning I come to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I guess there's really no need for me to do a current events update. You know, I don't need to remind anyone that the world is undergoing a series of sufferings. The pain we feel as we lose loved ones, of being away from those we cherish most deeply, not being able to celebrate and uplift others' accomplishments. The pain of longing for the communion table, the pain of living in a free nation where people of color are still being hung in the streets. Yeah, there is no doubt 2020 is one for the history books. It's almost comforting to hear Jesus say that he didn't come to bring peace but a sword. It's almost poetic to hear Jesus say that here he is speaking with us in the dark. Jesus flat out says it, in the moments of darkness, there God is speaking with you. So this morning I ask, are you listening? You see, in June of 1935, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was forced to create an underground seminary as the Nazi regime took over the German church. And as a part of their daily routine, the students would pray the Psalms together, most weeks going through the entire Psalter. You see, the morning service would begin within minutes of the morning alarm, a 45-minute service before breakfast, followed with a period of meditation. And as one student wrote, Bonhoeffer requested that we not say a single word to each other before the service, because the first word of the day was supposed to come from God. Archbishop Desmond Tutu was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, ending his time of meditation and prayer around 8. He says that deep, prayerful surrender guided all of the major turning points in his life, including his mission to end the apartheid. Yeah, two of the most profound spiritual leaders of the 20th century, who have gone toe-to-toe with government forces, start their day with extended time with God. Now, I hear you. I do. I understand multiple hours of extended prayer and meditation is not exactly practical for all of us. But the reality is that we do have the time to give to God. We do have the time to acknowledge the goodness of the Lord and all that God has done on our behalf. And we have to make sure that we're acknowledging the God of love, the God of unconditional love above all other gods, above the God of money, nation, and political party. So I have to ask, who gets acknowledged first in your daily practice of life? The work email or Jesus? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or the Holy Spirit? CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ESPN, or G-O-D? Now I need you to sit with that for just a second, because we do need to make sure that we're acknowledging God, the God who created the universe and loves all of us unconditionally before all others. Not simply because Christ says so. See, God deserves to be acknowledged because of the fact that we have been created, preserved, and given an abundance of blessings, all out of love. And because we should want to give God thanks and praise for that, even in the midst of our sufferings. And so one of the practical ways I've tried to carry this into my own life is by participating in morning prayer. Now, it needs to be said, I was not a fan of morning prayer my first go-around with it. In undergrad, I made sure I didn't schedule myself any 8 a.m. classes, and I lived right across the street from the academic building. So imagine my dismay when I get an email from Duke that says morning prayer starts at 7:45, and it's a healthy walk and a thick bus ride to get there. But it was worth it. It was worth it every morning because I was grounded. And upon my orientation at Duke, one of the leaders told me that the first year of seminary is known as the year of the crucifixion, with the year of the tomb as the second year and the resurrection as the third. And I'll let you know if I really think that when I graduate. But just like Jesus praying through the night in the Garden of Gethsemane before his moment of ultimate pain and suffering, I had to remain grounded in the Lord every day. It was no longer a matter of whether I wanted to or not. It became a matter of who I was going to be on that day. Was I going to be a bearer of the light of Christ into the world of that day? Was I going to be a disciple of Christ? And every day we're confronted with the same opportunity. And in these unbelievable times, friends, we must remain grounded, or we will slip and fall. It will take time, and that's okay. They call it a spiritual practice for a reason. You don't need to take hours a day, just a little bit of time every day. And guess what? If you've made it here, if you've made it this far, morning prayer is at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and you are only clicks away. And I get it. We're not all morning people. It doesn't have to be morning prayer. But there are a plethora of ways in which we can come into communion with the Lord while we're away from the communion table. Devotionals, Bible studies, meditative practices. If you're at a loss, reach out. Someone on the staff here will point you in the right direction. But it is so important that we are grounded in our daily walk of life, having taken personal time with God to acknowledge all of the things that God has done for us on our behalf. And I really do think it's beautiful that the noonday prayer begins with, "O Lord, make speed to save us." And our response is, "O Lord, make haste to help us." Yeah, because anything can happen between the hours of 8 a.m. and noon. Because the unbelievable can happen at any moment. So we need to make sure that we're grounded in every moment. We need to have acknowledged the goodness of the Lord in order for us to walk into the unknown with grace, care, and kindness, all things that this world is so desperately in need of right now. And it needs to be said, I am so thankful that you're here with us this morning. But this is not enough. My acknowledgement of God this morning, Javier's and Candy's acknowledgement of God this morning, is not enough for you. It is not enough for you to sit and watch, to allow others to pray for you, to read the writings of others and continue on. No, someone else's acknowledgement of God will never be enough for you. You need to acknowledge God on this day. You need to plan to make time to acknowledge God on all the days after Sunday. And as we take that time to acknowledge God, we may just begin to understand why Christ came with the sword. Now, let us not negate the fact that there is an immense amount of peace to be found in our personal and intimate relationship with Christ. But Christ did not come into this world to force the status quo into peacefulness. Rather, he came to usher in a revolution centered around love for one another and centered around love for the other. That's the sword that Christ is talking about this morning in the gospel. Radical love. Going against the status quo. Fighting the institutions that have upheld inequality in the name of peace. My friends, the sword is change in the name of love. The sword is love for those on the margins, just like Father George talked about last week. Christ came to bring the life of God into this world and to be an example for those who are willing to follow him. This is why chapter 10 of Matthew's gospel is called the missionary discourse. See, he is plainly stating that he is not here to bring peace, but to cultivate a following of individuals who are willing to not only listen in the dark, but go out into the world and make change. To change the institutions from the systems that their fathers and forefathers have set up before them. See, Christ came to set a man against his father because if the man is listening to God, he may just hear a different message. And just because our parents and grandparents were baptized and sat in a pew does not necessarily make their teachings and practices right. It doesn't make all the institutions that they've left behind for us just. See, this is why Christ reminds us that when we love our mothers and fathers more than God, we are not worthy. Look around. Look at where preserving their teachings and institutions have left us. If we simply listen to their teachings rather than the teachings of Christ because they claim to have listened to Christ, then we are not truly carrying our own cross or continuing the ministry of Christ. If we maintain the status quo simply because it was assembled by those who claim to walk and talk in the name of Christ, we are not actually following God. You see, our forefathers were people, and people are flawed. We do have much to learn from those who came before us, but we do need to take time in silence and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as individuals in order for us as ourselves to determine what is right and just, not allowing the others to determine that for us. Do not ignore the teachings of those who came before you, but do not put those teachings ahead of what Christ is saying to you today. In order for us to continue in the ministry of Christ and move in the direction of love for our neighbor, we must ensure that that our way of life is centered around acknowledging God before others. And we acknowledge God by listening in the darkness. And isn't that the bare minimum for us? For us to feel that we're being recognized, we're listening to each other? Simply listening to each other. And when the world is in darkness and our own lives are in darkness, there Jesus is speaking to you. Today is another opportunity for you to begin practicing slowing down and sitting in silence while the world keeps spinning without you. And that's okay. It's okay to let the world keep spinning while you take time for yourself. And as we begin, we can start to build a new normal for tomorrow. We can begin to establish a new normal that is centered around the goodness of God, the appreciation of God, and the continuation of Christ's ministry by showing grace and unconditional love to our neighbors in every aspect of our life. So love your parents. Cherish those who support you unconditionally. Give thanks to God for those who are in your life, who were there for you when you were not feeling well, who helped put food on your table, who taught you how to wipe yourself after doing it for you for years. Even the father figures in your life that are women and the ones you're not related to, yes, go give thanks to God for those people who are in your life and ground yourself in the Lord. Acknowledge that God has blessed you by having their presence in your life. Then ask for opportunities for you to do that for the other. Ask for opportunities to be a disciple of Christ. Ask for opportunities for you to show how you can spread the love of God that resides within you into this world that so desperately needs it. This is how we become disciples of Christ in our communities and in our homes. This is how we will become ushers of peace and unifying change in an angry and divided world. Happy Father's Day. Amen.